It is my pleasure to announce the Honorable Pat Arp, Deputy Secretary of State, escorted by Representatives Harvey and Hammonds. The Honorable Max Maxfield, Secretary of State, escorted by Representatives McComey and Brechtel.
Stand at ease awaiting the arrival of Chief Justice Barton Boyd. The House will come to order. Sergeant at Arms.
It is my pleasure to announce the Honorable Barton Boyd, Chief Justice of the Wyoming Supreme Court, escorted by Representatives Cohey and Throne.
We will now have the posting of the colors by Cheyenne Central High School ROTC. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Present. Go.
We want to express our appreciation to the Cheyenne Central High School ROTC for our flag ceremony. You may be seated as the color guard retires. At this time, we will have the prayer by Reverend Mary Caucott of the Christ Church Episcopal in Cody. Please rise.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, it is through myriad voices that you proclaim your truth in every age. Direct this House of Representatives of the beautiful state of Wyoming as they begin a new session. Bestow upon them the abundance of your blessing. Shower them with many gifts, knowledge to understand the needs of the people throughout the state, wisdom to discern wise use of the rich resources of Wyoming, resources both human and natural, sincerity of heart to guide them along new paths, creativity to think beyond the bounds of conventionality. We pray on this first day especially, O God, that you watch over our new leaders in this house. Give them wise and discerning hearts. Give them generous and caring mentors. Grant to all members of this house the grace to be open to the new while being faithful to our common past. May we all be guided by your will and surprised by your joy as we do our part to make the heart of this people wise, its mind sound, its will righteous, and its living holy, to the honor and glory of your mighty wisdom. Amen.
Please be seated. The Deputy Secretary of State, Pat Arp, will please call the roll of the House and report.
Wyoming House of Representatives, roll call beginning with House District 1 and ending with House District 60. House District 1, Mark A. Semlek. Here. District 2, Ross Dirks. Here. District 3, Frank Peasley. Here. District 4, Edward Buchanan. Here. District 5, Matt Teeters. Here. District 6, Richard Kennedy. District 7, Brian Pedersen. Here. District 8, Lori A. Millen. District 9, David L. Zwanitzer. Here. District 10, Rodney Pete Anderson. Here. District 11, Mary A. Throne. Here. District 12, Amy Edmonds. Here. District 13, Kathy Connolly. Here. District 14, Kermit C. Brown. Here. District 15, George W. Bagby. District 16, Pete Jorgensen. Here. District 17, Bernadine L. Kraft. Here. District 18, Alan M. Yagi. Here. District 19, Owen Peterson. Here. District 20, Kathy Davison. Here. District 21, Robert McKim. Here. District 22, Jim Roscoe. Here. District 23, Keith Gingery. District 24, Colin M. Simpson. Here. District 25, Dave Bonner. Here. District 26, Elaine D. Harvey. Here. District 27, Debbie Healy Hammonds. Here. District 28, Lorraine Korberg. Here. District 29, John W. Patton. Here. District 30, Jack Landon Jr. Here. District 31, Tom Lubnow II. Here. District 32, Timothy P. Hallinan. Here. District 33, W. Patrick Goggles. Here. District 34, Frank Philp. Here. District 35, Roy Cohey. Here. District 36, Mary Hales. Here. District 37, Steve Harshman. Here. District 38, Bob Brechtel. Here. District 39, Stan Blake. Here. District 40, Mike Madden. Here. District 41, Ken A. Escobel. Here. District 42, Pete Illoway. Here. District 43, Dan Zwanitzer. Here. District 44, James W. Byrd. Here. District 45, Seth Carson. Here. District 46, Glenn Moniz. District 47, William Jeb Stewart. Here. District 48, Joseph M. Barbuto. Here. District 49, Sandra Meyer. Here. District 50, Pat Childers. Here. District 51, Rosie Berger. Here. District 52, Sue Wallace. Here. District 53, Aaron E. Mercer. Here. District 54, Del McComey. Here. District 55, David R. Miller. Here. District 56, Tim Stubson. Here. District 57, Thomas A. Lockhart. Here. District 58, Lisa Shepperson. Here. District 59, Mike A. Gilmore. Here. District 60, Bill Thompson.
Here.
Mr. Secretary, all members of the 60th Wyoming Legislature are present.
Thank you.
I would like to begin by extending a special welcome to a former Wyoming lawmaker and longtime U.S. Senator, Al Simpson, and his lovely wife, Ann. What brings you to Cheyenne today, Al? One of the greatest honors I have in serving as your Secretary of State is welcoming all of you and opening Wyoming's legislative sessions. I want to welcome our newly elected legislators. You are about to enter a rich and unique chapter of your lives. I welcome back our veteran lawmakers. No matter how many terms you serve, you always show up excited and invigorated with anticipation of what each session will hold. So there are the newly elected, there are the veterans, and then there's John Patton.
That's right.
After 10 years in the legislature and a brief 27-year hiatus, John is back. Now, John is off to a questionable start. Many of you know he stole my tie at the caucus Sunday. John, you need not return it. You can pass it along to Representative Blake. What has many times been a circus on our national political stage this past year, we have really spotlighted how civil and responsible our Wyoming political system really is. We know that public service in Wyoming is still a noble calling, an opportunity for us to give back. To quote Winston Churchill, we make a living by what we get, but we make our lives by what we give. As elected officials and legislators, we share a responsibility, a trust given to us by the citizens of our great state to do their work and to represent them. Meeting today's challenge is serious business. Planning and preparing for Wyoming's future is critical work. While we know you take your legislative duties very seriously, I encourage you not to take yourself too seriously. Invite you at some point to walk around and look at the pictures on the wall of all the legislators that came before you. That's impressive. But you should also note all the space there is for the legislators that will come after you. So this will never begin nor end with your tenure here in this great body. When you are sworn in today, you will join those who have influenced and shaped Wyoming's history, and you will play an important role in shaping Wyoming's future. I join the other elected officials in wishing you a successful and productive session, and stand ready to support you in any way I can. God bless you, God bless Wyoming, and God bless America. I will now accept nominations for the temporary speaker.
I move Representative Illaway for temporary speaker.
I appoint Representative Stewart and Dan Zwanitzer to his... Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we have to vote on that. Could we have a vote? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I appoint Representative Stewart and Dan Zwanitzer to escort temporary speaker Illaway to the chair.
meeting will please come to order. I will accept nominations for temporary chief clerk.
I move Patricia Binskin as temporary chief clerk.
I appoint Representative Berger. Oh, we got to take her. No, not yet. That's not what you got on the list. But we'll do it. All those in favor? All right. I appoint Representative Berger to serve as chairman of a credentials committee consisting of Representatives Dirks, Jorgensen, Brown, and Mercer. The committee will convene in the office of the majority floor leader. This committee shall report its finding as to the credentials of the membership of the House pursuant to Article 3, Section 10 of the Wyoming Constitution. The House will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. You're the chief clerk, and I'm not. More fun this way. Mm-hmm. My picture hasn't come down. There's supposed to be a great big it's over at the museum. Going to be something else. This oath is so much nicer. The House will come to order. The temporary chief clerk will read the report.
Our Credentials Committee has received from the Secretary of State a certified copy of the duly elected members of the House of Representatives for the 60th Wyoming Legislature. We have reviewed the certificate and recommend that the persons listed thereon be recognized as the official membership of the House of Representatives, 60th Wyoming Legislature. I move the adoption of this report, signed Representative Berger, Chairman.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Would Chief Justice Voigt please come to the rostrum to administer the oaths of office to House members? House members, please rise.
please? Okay. It's not that I don't feel comfortable with him behind me. But. Raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I state your name. Having been elected as a member of the House of Representatives of the State of Wyoming, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wyoming. That I have not knowingly violated any law related to my election or appointment or caused it to be done by others, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. You may all be seated. It's nice to have a somewhat shorter oath. We are at that order of business, election of speaker. Representative Childers.
I nominate Representative Colin Simpson, husband of Deb, son of Ann and the world-renowned Alan K. Simpson, as Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 60th Wyoming Legislature.
Representative Bonner.
I second the nomination of Representative Simpson and move that his election be made unanimous. Dispensing with the roll call.
It has been moved and seconded that Representative Colin Simpson be unanimously elected Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 60th Wyoming Legislature and that we dispense with the roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries. Before we allow the speaker to come up here, I now would like to introduce, and I don't get a chance to do this very often, so this is a great pleasure. I now would like to ask Senator Alan Simpson. Oh, he wants to speak first? I wasn't said that, but.
Presiding officer, I think my son would like to go first because he's fearful.
I take my orders from the chief clerk. All right. I appoint Representatives Lubnow and Meyer to escort Representative Simpson to receive the oath of office and then take the chair.
I'll get you later.
Repeat after me, please. I state your name.
I, Colin Simpson.
Having been elected as Speaker.
Having been elected as Speaker.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Wyoming.
And the Constitution of the State of Wyoming. That I have not knowingly violated any law
related to my election or appointment
or caused it to be done by others
and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity
and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. Thank you. Thank you all very much. I sincerely appreciate it. And I did want to speak before my father to make sure, or at least make sure that the election was over before he spoke, so he couldn't alter the outcome. We are at that order of business, election of Majority Floor Leader. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I nominate Representative Ed Buchanan as Majority Floor Leader of the House of Representatives for the 60th Wyoming Legislature.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I second the nomination of Representative Buchanan and move that his election be made unanimous, dispensing with a roll call.
It has been moved and seconded that Representative Buchanan be unanimously elected Majority Floor Leader of the House of Representatives for the 60th Wyoming Legislature and that we dispense with the roll call. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. I appoint Representatives Goggles and Dave Zwanitzer to escort Representative Buchanan to receive the oath of office.
State your name.
I, Edward Buchanan.
Having been elected as Majority Floor Leader of the House of Representatives.
Having been elected as the Majority Floor Leader of the House of Representatives.
Of the State of Wyoming.
Of the State of Wyoming.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Wyoming.
And the Constitution of the State of Wyoming.
That I have not knowingly violated any law.
That I have not knowingly violated any law.
Related to my election or appointment.
Related to my election or appointment.
Or caused it to be done by others.
Or caused it to be done by others.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
We are at that order of business, election of Speaker Pro Tem, Representative Senlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I nominate Representative Frank Phelps as Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives of the 60th Wyoming Legislature.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I second the nomination and move that his election be made unanimous, dispensing with the roll call.
It has been moved and seconded that Representative Phelps be unanimously elected Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives for the 60th Wyoming Legislature and that we dispense with the roll call. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. I appoint Representatives Gingrey and Anderson to escort Representative Philp to receive the oath of office.
I, Frank Philp.
Having been elected as Speaker Pro Tem of the Wyoming House of Representatives.
Having been elected Speaker Pro Tem of the Wyoming House of Representatives.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Wyoming.
And the Constitution of the State of Wyoming.
That I have not knowingly violated.
That I have not knowingly violated.
Any law related to my election.
Any law related to my election.
Or
caused it to be done by others.
Or caused it to be done by others.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations, Frank.
Mr. Chief Justice, please accept our profound gratitude for taking the time from your busy schedule to administer the oaths of office to members and staff of the House of Representatives. We sincerely appreciate your dedication. Would Representatives Lockhart and Madden please escort Chief Justice Voigt from the chambers? Thank you again. Welcome to the opening session of the 60th Wyoming State Legislature. This is the 119th year of the legislature from Wyoming statehood on July 10th of 1890. Thank you, Chief Justice Voigt, again for attending to the swearing-in duties today, and thank you, Reverend Mary Cockett, for your wonderful and thoughtful prayer, and we appreciate you traveling here from Cody. Thank you, Secretary of State Maxfield and Deputy Secretary of State Arp for being here today and helping out. And congratulations to our new officers, Ed Buchanan, Frank Philp, Lorraine Korberg, the majority whip, Sandra Meyer, the minority leader, Patrick Goggles, the minority whip, and Lori Millen, the minority caucus leader. I'm extremely happy today to welcome members of my family who are here to share in this special honor as Speaker of the House. And I would like to introduce them to you. This will only take about 20 minutes, so just settle back and my extraordinary wife, Debbie, and our fine sons, Mac and Nick. Go ahead and stand up just so we can. Nick. Nick is conducting some important business in my office, I believe. They have logged more time in Cheyenne during legislative sessions than many of you in this body. There he is, Nick. The privilege of serving in the legislature is most directly and generously granted by our spouses and our families. The sacrifices Debbie, Mac, and Nick make to allow me to pursue my passion are appreciated beyond words, and this public recognition is but a small measure of my love and thanks. We have shared much as a result of our legislative experiences, and they have made our lives richer. Thank you again. Some of you may remember the time that I was the Cat in the Hat on Dr. Seuss Day, and I was up here in front, and I had Mac here. He was about 3, and he stood on that chair, and there was a paper punch here, and he just whacked that thing for about 5 minutes straight. That was great. My wife Debbie's parents, Chuck and Eileen Oakley, are here from Lander, and Eileen's mother, Frances Schmidt. Chuck retired from the state after 35 years in 2007, and Eileen is serving her second term as the assessor in Fremont County. Frances Schmidt, Fran, is the matriarch of the Schmidt family from Gordon, Nebraska, and she just celebrated her 90th birthday. Thanks for being here. My parents, Al and Ann Simpson, who you've heard from before, they have lived many of the legislative experiences that Debbie and the boys and I have, and I remember many car trips to Cheyenne with my brother and my sister Sue in the 14 years that Dad was here in the legislature. I have very fond memories of the basement cafeteria that hasn't existed for years, tours in the Capitol Dome, and many trips to the water cooler. My sister Sue is here with her daughter Fiona and her son, her husband John, and their son Aiden are up in the gallery. The wonderful art that I have in my office comes from my sister's gallery in Cody, as well as the bronze sculpture here on the speaker's desk. This is a T.D. Kelsey sculpture entitled La Tocha Hermosa, which means the light touch. And I thought it would be appropriate to have it out here on the speaker's desk, as opposed to the steer wrestler that I have in my office. No, just kidding. Thank you, Sue and John. We will be receiving a Tim Lawson painting here that will hang back on that back panel. It's a very large painting. The painting on the left back there above Representative Mercer is a Lawson. He's a Sheridan native, and you'll be very inspired when you see the wonderful painting that he has agreed to lend to us for this session. It'll be wonderful. My uncle and aunt, Pete and Lynn Simpson, are here. Pete served for 4 years in this body as a representative. From Sheridan County, and together he and Lynn and their family have spent many years enhancing the arts in Wyoming and have done a wonderful job. And Pete is still teaching at the University of Wyoming, and I understand still trying to get another contract for next year. My Pete and Lynn's son Millard is here, and his wife Amy, and their sons Alex and Hunter are in the gallery.
And Sarah.
And Sarah. I'm sorry, Sarah. Millard is the director of the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources and one of the finest administrators in the state. And Amy is a music teacher at the Hobbs Elementary School in Cheyenne. And my sister-in-law Ember Oakley is here, up in the balcony. She is in law school in Laramie. My aunt and my mother's twin sister, Nan Fogle, is back here in the corner. Nan, stand up. She and my mom are Niners from Grable. And her son, Jonathan Thorne, is here, and his wife, Mary Ellen. And Nan and John have been really important parts of my life since my earliest memories, and it's nice to have you all here. Lastly, Mary Cockett, not a member of our blood family, but certainly a member of our church family. And it is also special to have John Root here from Cody, who will be serving as a page on the House floor. John's back there. John, just step out here for a second. John is a senior at Cody High School and will be here for the session. Welcome, John. It's really special to have my family and Mary here with me today and sharing in the special occasion, and I'm honored by their presence and greatly blessed by their love and that they are a great part of the fabric of my life and the lives of my wife and our sons. There have been 4 speakers from Park County. 3 were before 1938, and the last one was Marlon Kurtz in 1963. Just thought you might know, just might want to know that bit of trivia. It's only been, 44 years since Park County had a speaker. Congratulations to the 12 newest members of this great body. I am certain that you will find your experience here to be most unique, challenging, and interesting. You will be called upon to make decisions and vote on issues that you have never contemplated before, and that those you care deeply about and hold most important. The founders of our country created the U.S. House of Representatives to reflect the will of the people. This is the people's house for Wyoming. Here, the will of our citizens is reflected in House bills and budget priorities and resolutions. In this house, ideas are given form and substance as bills, and citizen legislators use their talents to convince their colleagues the ideas have merit and deserve statutory recognition. You new members will come to appreciate, as your more experienced colleagues already know, that passage of a bill can be torturous and brutal. Whether the bill contains an appropriation or not, each stage requires a majority, and a majority can often be hard to muster. Believe me, I've lost some big ones. But you will be strengthened by the fight. Your experiences will make you a better legislator. Your experiences here will give you a different perspective on your state and its fine people, and your role as a citizen legislator. I and those of us who have been here before welcome you and and warmly and with open arms. To my more seasoned colleagues, I welcome you with the familiarity and friendship that only an institution like ours can instill. I am eager to work with you all again and to debate and wrestle with you on the important issues facing us in the state of Wyoming. As our friend and new legislator and instructor, Alan Rosenthal, who is a professor of political science at the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers, pointed out in one of his writings, the engine that drives this system of representative democracy is the legislature, which is responsible for performing three vital functions: representation, lawmaking, and balancing the power of the executive. As representatives, you offer your constituents a connection to government and may be their only real point of access. You may be the one who gives them the opportunity not only to express their views, but also to be heard. The second vital function is lawmaking, and that is what this legislative session is all about. Our task is to set priorities and allocate resources. We must decide among competing goods, all of which are desirable and in demand by the public: education, health, transportation, the environment, and so on. As Robert Remney points out in his book, The History of the U.S. House of Representatives, the essential drama of democracy is the struggle between principle and pragmatism. The third vital function is balancing the power of the executive. The fear of the constitutional framers was that legislatures would be too strong. Today, however, the tendency is in the executive direction. The governor is one and the legislature is many. And that advantage is substantial. Governors not only possess the veto and, more importantly, the threat of the veto, but they have at their disposal the bully pulpit. It is their message that gets heard and communicated to the public, while the legislature's messages are multiple and discordant. The Wyoming legislature sets its own issues and priorities through its committee work between sessions and legislating during sessions. A natural conflict exists between legislatively designated priorities and executive branch priorities. This year, as compared to the last 6 years, we are faced with a relatively modest supplemental revenue. The governor has set his budget priorities, and the legislature is about to begin setting ours. I was first elected to the House in 1998. Representative Illaway, Representative Cohey, Representative McComey were in my class. We're still in my class. During the 99 legislative session, we enacted a section in the budget bill for an assessment of state revenues and expenditures. Tax Reform 2000 was what that was called. In May of 99, the anticipated deficit was $127 million. With an underlying deficit of $183 million without the carryover. In February of 2000, 9 months later, that deficit was zero. Governor Geringer suggested in his 2000 budget message that the underlying deficit is still at least $183 million and could be $200 million 2 years from now. The big four categories of spending: education, 44%, healthcare, 24%, public safety, 13%, and human resources. Nothing really has changed on those big four. Governor Geringer proposed increasing the statewide mill levy by 2 mills to help shoulder the state's share of school capital construction. The statewide average mill levy was approximately 4.5 mills, and it raised $47 million. In response to those projected deficits, the 2000 legislature de-earmarked a portion of the flow of severance taxes and federal mineral royalties so that the legislature would have more discretion about how those revenues would be spent. At that time, the legislature had discretionary authority over about 27% of the total revenue stream. It just so happened that about the same time as de-earmarking revenues from oil, natural gas, and coal bed methane began to take off, and take off they did. All major sources of revenue into the general fund have increased dramatically since 2000. Available dollars have been used to address mineral impacts all across the state, greatly improve funding for K-12 education and UW and the community colleges, K-5 keep up with the demands of Medicaid funding, improve health and social services, add highway funding to the general fund budget, and enhance funds to local governments and many others. We can be proud of the work we've done over those years and the money that's been spread around the state. We've also spent $1.2 billion on school facilities with dollars from the state share of federal coal leases without local revenues, as we had in the past. Fortunately, those 2000 revenue projections did not bear out, and today we see another surplus. It is now time for the House and Senate Appropriations Committee to analyze the governor's budget and give us the legislature's budget. Because this will happen during the session more this year than it has in the past, it will place additional duties on the Appropriations Committee, but I'm confident they are up to the task. Today, we in this nation are faced with great uncertainty. We have seen things happen in financial and other markets and economies that are scary and confounding. The entire investment banking industry disappeared in a week. Some industries are near collapse. Trillions of dollars of savings and investments simply disappeared. Jobs in many parts of the country are increasingly more difficult to hold and even harder to find. Fortunately, we in Wyoming still have a fairly low unemployment rate. So what does the national economy tell us in this Wyoming legislature about how we should approach what we're about to do? Bedrock principles are where we must stand. Investments in infrastructure that promote education, business development, job and wage growth, health and safety issues, protection of our valuable industries and economies, and protecting our revenue streams. Uncertainty breeds fear that can turn to indecision. Our task in these uncertain times is to place more effort on prioritizing. Prioritizing what must be done, what ought to be done, and what could be done. This prioritization must be guided by the economic realities we see around us and the careful analysis of our budget projections for this biennium and the next ones to come. I urge you to be careful and deliberate in your analysis of what is prudent spending and prudent legislation. These next 2 years will be quite different than the last 6 or 8. I'd like to mention a few issues. Property tax relief. I fully support property tax relief to the owners of residential, commercial, and agricultural property in Wyoming. While the tax burden to Wyoming citizens has been lessened since school buildings are no longer constructed with local dollars and the food tax has been repealed, I still firmly believe that Wyoming is able and should provide property tax relief for 2009. Whether it's in the form of the homestead exemption, that is a joint revenue committee bill, or my House Bill 87, which is a property tax rate reduction, both of these proposals are one-year funding, and we are able to fund these for 2009. Any decrease in assessed valuations that we might see around the state or lower comparable sales upon which our property tax system is based will not really have any effect until 2010 at the earliest. These are one-year funding items. The second item is protecting the ability of our minerals industry to continue to generate revenue streams that sustain us all. There are 4 bills in Judiciary Committee dealing with carbon sequestration that need to go forward. Discharged Water Management, House Bill 14 in the Ag Committee, and House Bill 111, Clean Coal Task Force in the Minerals Committee. I am proposing a new program. I shouldn't call it a program. That makes you think dollars. It is called the Western States Energy Task Force. This session I will sponsor a bill to create the Western States Energy Task Force. There will be a bipartisan legislative task force with members from the executive branch and the private sector. This task force will establish a public-private partnership, if it passes, I should say, to develop plans and funding for a Western States Energy Conference to be held in the summer or fall of 2009. Private funding will be sought to help supplement public dollars. Invitees will include legislators and executive branch members from the governments of the 14 Western states, who are members of the Western Electric Coordinating Council. Executives from all key energy industries, leadership of all concerned interest groups, top experts in the field of energy development and economics, and other persons the task force may determine have an interest. The task force will develop a cost-benefit analysis assessing the challenges of energy development and environmental protection within the western states. The analysis will apply to renewable energy sources, fossil fuel development and use, nuclear energy development and extraction and use, carbon management and impacts on the cost of energy development and use, public lands protection and development in the context of energy development, and air quality in the context of energy development. This task force will be asked to develop a list of priorities that the Western states should individually and cooperatively strive to meet. A report would be submitted to the legislature and the governors of all those states by late fall of 2009. I believe a health policy organization of some type is important to follow on the heels of the Wyoming Healthcare Commission that is sunsetting at the end of June of 2009. Healthcare and health insurance issues are too important to not have some type of organization to look at those with a direct and specific eye, and legislative participation is critical there. Community college amendments will be important. We will debate that. I'm sure there will be many ideas about House Bill 114 that came out of the task force. Local government financing, we've had a task force that's been working for 2 years to help us determine where we go with local government financing. There are a couple bills out there that will help us move forward on that into the future. Workers' compensation amendments, House Bill 54, that will be in the House Labor Committee this week. There are many other issues and many issues that are important to each of you, and I'd be happy to speak with you about the issues that are important to you, and please know that my door is open. Before I conclude my speech, I would like to take a moment to recognize one of our colleagues for his service and special contribution to this House. He and I came to the legislature together and have worked closely together for years. He has given a great deal of himself to the institution, and it is appropriate to recognize those contributions with a special gift of photographs from his term as Speaker. These were shot and compiled by Sandy Pedersen of our LSO staff, and they are truly wonderful. So, Roy Cohey, come on up here, and we'd like to present you with this. Thank you, Roy. I'm sure you'll share that with other members. They're wonderful photographs in there from all through his 2 years as a two-year term as Speaker. It's great. Are the events of 2008 a turning point for the long haul? Some say we are in uncharted territory, that our system has never experienced these conditions before. Indeed, this is true because it's always true. The technology bubble collapse of 2000 was one of a kind, with no roadmap for business executives, government officials, and investors to pull off the shelf. The same was true during the commercial real estate crisis of 1990, the crash of 1987, the panic of 1907 tied to the copper market, the panic of 1873 linked to excessive expansion of railroads, and we could go on, but I won't. We in Wyoming can transition quickly. We are adaptable and can move this ship of state with relative speed. We will be careful sailing in these uncharted waters. I look forward to the voyage and I eagerly anticipate beginning the legislative work of this general session. It is now time for this House to engage its engine and perform the vital function of sorting out and setting priorities and allocating resources. We will do so with an eye toward the future and our individual and collective values and goals and visions for Wyoming. It is time to go to work. May God bless and sustain you all in our great state of Wyoming. Thank you. That was like one of those uniform trust code bills, wasn't it? Is he ever going to stop? No. Now for something completely different. Now I would like to vary from the agenda a bit, and my father insisted that if I did not recognize him, he would stand up and seek privilege of the floor as a former member of the body. And in fear that I might have to gavel him down, I'm acceding to that request. So, Dad, please feel free. You've got 12 seconds.
Mr. Speaker, which is quite a... No, I haven't. You were always speaking about something. But if we had called for a vote here, I had campaigned earlier in the day, and I had the votes to speak from the floor as a privileged former legislator. That was a very powerful talk. You got to the meat and the bone of what needs to be done, and there will be more of that. The good governor will present a State of the Union address. I said to Colin many years ago, I think the words were exact, Colin, if you and your cousin John crosswire that 54 Chevy and sneak it out of the garage one more time, you're history. You do remember that? You do, don't you, John? Oh, you talk about raising boys. Susie was a joy. Bill and Colin were a chore on certain occasions. And his response was not totally civil to me, his father. I shall never forget the pain of it. I'm not going to look at him. He remembers a horrible experience. But what pride we have this day, Ann and I and our whole family bask in the history of this day, in this glorious old Capitol. Now relax here. These are just little notes like I always used to do back there. I always sat right back there by the pillar so you could watch these rascals. Watch them passing notes. Yeah, I'll vote for your thing. And all of a sudden they run over to the guy on the other side and you say, that cat just jumped ship. And they would, but you could spot them. And then you'd go up and collar them again. It's a great, great exercise. They don't have that in the civics texts. Now, back to these notes, because our grandfather was in the Senate in 1915, Peter Coy from Sheridan County. He served there in what we call still the other body. We don't refer to it as the Senate, just the other body. Now that I was in the Senate all these years, we called the House the other body. So it never changes. Now, then our father, Millward Simpson, was a state legislator from Hot Springs County, 1927, right here. The only Republican that ever been elected in Hot Springs County because he was a member of the United Mine Workers Association, the union. He was asked here on this floor, how are you on prohibition? Are you wet or you're dry? He said, lady, I'm so wet, if you blew on me, I'd ripple. That did not endear him to the drives of Wyoming. And then there was, of course, Dad was governor from 55 to 59. Uncle Harry Barker of Teton County was here in the 40s, and his son, Harry Barker Jr. from Teton County, where Pete represents, and Keith, they were here. And then there was Brother Pete from Sheridan County in the 80s. Most extraordinary friend and my rock in life. And he is here with my dear sister-in-law, Lynn. And now son, Colin. So you can sense the deep coursing of emotion. Son, Bill, and Deb could not be with us, but Colin's little sis, Sue, and husband, John, and Fiona, you've seen them all introduced today, so I'll get that out of the way. That'll save 30 seconds. There are nieces and nephews here, and in-laws and outlaws, and the in-laws are a real crapshoot. And I got Chuck Oakley and Eileen, which is a really good deal, because it could have been anything ghastly. Nothing ghastlier than in-laws. You suddenly are looking across at the wedding and seeing people you think, what in the world? Or handing your daughter to a guy saying, what's it like? He says, it's like handing a grand Stradivarius to a gorilla to play. Now, we're not quite through here. A few reflections here. I won't go any longer than Max or Colin here. If you hear Anne clear her throat, it means that I have concluded my remarks. And I'd say, you betcha, but that's been overused in the last few months. Now, I served with giants in this chamber. Ed Hirschler and I plotted more things and got more things done. He sat right back there, me across the alley, and boy, the two of us, when we put Simpson and Hirschler on a bill, we got it passed because they trusted us. That's the only cash you have here is trust. And you violate that and your history. You may not think your history, but your colleagues know that your history. Breaking that vow, I'm going to help you, and you don't. I'm going to vote with you, and you don't. Your history. You're here, but your history. So I served with Ed, John Rooney, Supreme Court Justice, wonderful guy, tremendous guy. Verda James, the first woman speaker of the House, she called us her boys and said, I'm tired of your little games, boys, which was a frightening thing from an old teacher from Natrona County. Mike Sweeler, who ran for the U.S. Senate, a dear friend. Harold Hellbaum, Nell Smith, Ed Whitehead, Warren Morton, John Patton. You have an LSO because of John Patton. This was the most inept legislature in the United States, so judged by fellow legislators and the National Conference. We were behind Arkansas and Mississippi. And John Patton said, this is embarrassing, and he started the procedures that completely redid the legislative process, including the LSO. So tune him in occasionally. He's a wealth of information. Well, we didn't come here then or now to represent the Democrat or the Republican Party. Sure, you got to be partisan, that's how you get here. But we came here to represent the people of Wyoming, who are thoughtful, well-read, articulate, spirited, and highly opinionated, very highly opinionated people. And they watch you in here. They lurk up there during the day. And you look up and think, how did that guy get in here? How do you know this bill was coming up? I told him, and there he is. And you think, oh, Lord. And, of course, they do record your vote. You know that. Well, enough of that and a few more notes here. Yes, do them proud. Do those people proud. And listen to Governor Dave, but not all the time. His dear mother and father, Lou and Lucille, were our campaign co-chairman when I ran for the U.S. Senate. And how Dave slipped into the other faith is just beyond our comprehension. But he did. Lou and Lucille, I'm sure, thought long and hard about that. But anyway, that happens. But Nancy's a Cody girl, so that makes up for a lot of it. Now, when Dad was governor, he always said, God, he said, I'll be glad when those damn fools adjourn up there. That's how governors always feel about the legislature, because they don't get their way. And Dad was always very frustrated, and he had a Republican legislature, but as he said, they cut his bicycle so many times he could hardly get down the road. Well, now I'm almost through winding down. I know Dave has never felt that way about this legislature, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, now, I remember well when Vice President Hubert Humphrey addressed the chamber when I was a member, and Cliff Hansen was governor, and Stan Hathaway stood right here and gave a State of the State address for 40 minutes, some may remember, never used a note, covered every issue in Wyoming, finished up, reached in his pocket, and pulled out a piece of paper and said, I think I covered everything. And everybody just laughed. He didn't know what to think because they were stunned that this man could review every single issue in the state of Wyoming without a single note. And that was Stan, and you have graced his memory with the Hathaway process of education. I heard Ann clear her throat. And I will just skip a couple of things. One other thing, you always remember the great combat. This is a place of combat. Politics is a contact sport. But there was one case, and you're thinking, my God, when is he going to quit? But I haven't had a drop to drink. Some did in those days here. Oh, those were bad days. House Bill 208, the Union Pacific, was not a good corporate friend and citizen of Wyoming. And they tried to gouge the Trona industry. And Herschler and I and Hellbaum and Sweeler said, this is not going to pass. Now today, the Union Pacific is one of our greatest corporate citizens. It was not always so. And so we took them on. And the case was researched, and the floor debate material was furnished to us by a very fine young lobbyist, an attorney from Casper, one Mike Sullivan. And we won the day, and later, of course, Mike served as our fine governor and great friend. But it was a rough and tumble. You're going to get into things here where tears are going to come down your cheeks, and you're going to go in there and rub them off. But I have one piece of advice. Don't get all tangled up day after day in social issues, because you'll never change a vote. But there will be histrionics and passion and ugliness that will come. If you just exist on social issues, you'll never change a vote because people feel deeply on those issues. And I need not mention what they are. So learn to give as good as you get. Walt Phelan was the speaker when I was here as a freshman. He was a Democrat. And one day he left the chamber. He said, I have to keep the legislature running, and Simpson, I'm going to put you in the chair. And if you do anything to gimmick this system as a Republican, you're history. I sat here, and boy, our side got very creative, knowing that we could, you know, we were the only people here. I remember a man named Earthquake Magoon, who we ruled out of order. He was a legislator from Sweetwater County. Won't go into that any further. Keep your faith, keep your sense of humor, heed that. And I'll never forget my father. Our father ran, when he was running for governor, and Hathaway took him through the beat campaign in Torrington, and a guy came up and said, Simpson, I wouldn't vote for you if you were Jesus Christ. And my dad snapped back, if I were Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be in my precinct. And so, do your work. Do well, work hard, play hard, have fun, and remember the definition of politics. In politics, there are no right answers. Only a continuing flow of compromises among groups, resulting in a changing, cloudy, and ambiguous series of public decisions where appetite and ambition compete openly with knowledge and wisdom. Watch out for the guys that just play appetite and ambition, and stick with the guys that are into knowledge and wisdom. So, and remember the good folks of Wyoming. I always found they were smarter than I was, and they really are. They're smarter than their elected officials. They certainly went the case with me. And I know you will be led now by a fine man, a gentle and stalwart son, who will treat you with kindness and fairness at all times. So I commend him to you with deep pride and much love. God bless him, and God bless you.
Thank you, Dad. Those were wonderful remarks. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, the chair recognizes the Majority Floor Leader, Representative Buchanan, and would ask him to address the body. Would Representatives Davison and Shepperson please escort the Majority Floor Leader to the podium?
You know, over the many years, I have heard Senator Simpson speak, and out of all the sage wisdom and anecdotes that I've heard, one thing sticks with me, and it was a joke, and I hope he doesn't mind me telling it, but a man and his wife were in bed one night, and the phone rings, and the man answers it, and for a second he listens, and then he says, "How in the hell should I know? That's 1,000 miles away from here." Hangs up the phone. His wife says, "Honey, who was it?" He goes, "I don't know, some nut wanting to know if the coast was clear." Mr. Speaker pro tem, Madam Majority Whip, Madam Minority Leader, Mr. Minority Whip, fellow legislators of the 60th Wyoming Legislature, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you today as your Majority Floor Leader, and you have vested your trust in me, and to that honor, I pledge my very best. We are convened at a point in history where we face palpable uncertainty, unrest swirls on many continents. The world economy hangs in the balance as many nations struggle with their faltering economies. And here in America, we face the most serious economic crisis this nation has seen in a half century. And in Wyoming, we have already begun to feel the effects with tighter budgets and an overall atmosphere of hesitance as we look towards the future. Fellow legislators, despite all of this, there is no better time for us to be here in these hallowed halls of this great capital in the greatest state in the nation. For now, more than ever before, we have been called to lead. We've been called to lead by our constituents, called to work for them, called to carefully craft laws to improve their lives, to sustain their communities, and their way of life. And to be sure, it will not be an easy task. As we look at ourselves and our nation and our democracy, we see a healthy struggle of ideology, a search for answers to questions which will forever shape our history and that will also define our legacy to our posterity. And the questions are many. Some answers will seem easy. Others will require debate, reflection, but most importantly, they will require leadership. We must debate within this august body those issues most important to our people, and we must find clear, strong solutions to protect our economy, to protect our citizens, and to protect our sovereignty. These solutions must prove Wyoming to be a model citizen, both to our nation and to the world. And I think we should embrace this opportunity to demonstrate how Wyoming leadership, which is grounded, of course, in our state's rich heritage, girded with a lot of good old common sense, conservative values, and crowned with visionary action, can make the least populated state in America one of the greatest places on earth to live, to work, and to raise families. Now, despite the recent and disappointing news regarding the financials, we still have a surplus. And there is reason to be optimistic if we exercise leadership. And we've been here before, and you may all ask, where is here?
here is in this very place in 1941, a world war and a recession at hand, when Governor Nell Smith addressed the 26th legislature in his State of the State address, where he said, "I'm happy to advise the members of this body that while many other states are now attempting to find new sources of revenue in an effort to balance their budgets," sound familiar? "Our budget is balanced with a substantial surplus in the general fund. This has been accomplished while amply caring for the aged and meeting our general relief load. It will be possible to maintain this fiscal condition of the state treasury and continue to care for those less fortunate than we are if an economical administration of state affairs and a conservative program is pursued. My dear colleagues, it is imperative that we recognize the volatility of our state's economy and temper that volatility with sound fiscal thinking. For our new members and even the public, I think it's important to remember and recognize that Wyoming's assessed valuation is based 70% on natural gas, coal, and oil, with natural gas making up the majority of that 70%. I want to remind us all of two things. First of all, we would not have a surplus as we sit here today if it were not for the carryover money from fiscal year 2008. And secondly, any surplus is still a projection. And the only reason we had a carryover at all, if you'll remember, is in our budget session a year ago, we exercised fiscal restraint. And then when we left the session, lucky or otherwise, commodity prices rose for the final 6 months of that fiscal year. Once we decide to temper our volatility with sound conservative fiscal policy, I think we need to take a hard look at what we spend our money on and the return we are or are not receiving. While there are many areas that can be addressed, one area of spending has worried me more than any other, and that is education. While we have wisely invested in our children's education, dutifully seen to it that our teachers are among the best compensated in the nation, and made college financially feasible for our graduates, we have a problem. And I believe we could be at the precipice of financial calamity in this area if we do not act and ask the hard questions. How can we spend wisely in a system wherein our control has been largely usurped and dictated by the judiciary? How can we use fiscal restraint to weather the volatilities of our economy when we have so little control over our single largest expenditure? And sadly, even if we could afford it over the long term, how can we justify it to the people we work for when we continue to see warning signs within the system? Just a few examples. Why do so many kids, after the great things we did with the Hathaway Scholarship Program, why do so many lose those scholarships when they enter college? Why do 40% of high school graduates need remedial training when they get to college? Why don't we see improvement in test scores? My friends, we must have the courage to provide leadership on this issue. We must demand for our constituents answers to these questions, and we must take action, because I believe if we do not, we will have failed as leaders. In all of the issues challenging our state, I encourage each of you to file that bill that you've been holding back on because you may find it to be controversial, or you're afraid that it will be controversial. Or if you're holding it because you think you're going to take heat from a large interest group, I heed you to go ahead and file those bills. It is time to lead. It's time to do the right thing. It's time to follow your heart. It's time to serve your constituents. So in closing, let's gear up, let's saddle up, and I think we should go into this session thoughtfully, wisely, and as important as anything, bravely, as we collectively serve the people of the state of Wyoming. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your remarks, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Would Representative Stubson and Kraft please escort the Majority Floor Leader to his seat? The Chair recognizes the Speaker pro tem, Representative Philp, and would ask him to address the body. And would Representatives Peterson and Korberg please escort the Speaker pro tem to the podium. Give him help.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Secretary of State, Madam Deputy Secretary of State, members of the majority and minority leadership, honorable members of the House of Representatives, and our honorable guests, including my wife, Janet. I'm grateful and honored to be serving the people of the great state of Wyoming and this body in a leadership role. Thank you for electing me. I will do whatever I can to make sure that we have a successful session. As we came to Cheyenne, across the many miles and the many different and varied landscapes, from mountains to plains, forests to deserts, rocky peaks, and even sagebrush flats, we saw many different visions of the landscapes we know in Wyoming. Now, just as the landscapes across the state are varied and different, the ideas we bring to the legislature also span a wide variety. There are many different perceptions as what is right for Wyoming. Yet, when we arrive in Cheyenne and respect the traditions here in this house of listening, treating people fairly, and dealing with tough issues with civility, these are the hallmarks of the House of Representatives. Regardless of which corner of the state you came from, growing up, you probably learned these basic rules. Play fair, share with others, don't hit, and now I'm going to do what we're frequently told to do, sit down and let's get to work. Thank you all very much, and I look forward to a very successful 60th session of the Wyoming Legislature.
Thank you for your remarks, Mr. Speaker pro tem. Would Representatives Yagi and Hallinan please escort the Speaker pro tem to his seat? The Chair recognizes the Minority Floor Leader, Representative Meyer, and would ask her to address the body. Would Representatives Millen and Thompson please escort the Minority Floor Leader to the podium?
Mr. Speaker, honored guests, family members, and the honorable members of the 60th Legislature, it's an honor for me as Minority Floor Leader to address you this morning and to be part of this great group. It's been a privilege to serve with many of you before, and I look forward to serving with you at this time. It was difficult when the chief clerk told me I would have to give a speech. And let me tell you, I agonized over it. I had many sleepless nights thinking, what am I going to say? You have heard many eloquent messages this morning that are very important, that have kind of set the stage for what we are going to be facing this legislative session. My thoughts were of, I could talk about the national economy and the crisis that we're facing there. I could talk about our budget, the supplementary budget, and the reduction that we are going to be facing. And then I thought, to me, the most important thing for us to remember as members of the 60th legislature is who we represent. We represent the people of Wyoming. That is why we are here. And it's our duty to serve them and to serve Wyoming now and in the future. You have heard that we need to have a plan. We need to have a direction that we are going to go in. It's going to take each member of this body with their ideas, or with your ideas, and with your opinions to guide us in the direction that we need to go. Although we will have differences, we also have the same interest, and that is to keep this the wonderful state that we live in. We can accomplish this if we work together. I'd like to have three C's that we remember this session. And that is that we communicate, we cooperate, and we compromise to come to the best decisions that we can. We have someone who is our leader, who is the captain of this ship for the next 2 years, and I am honored to serve with our present speaker. And I'm also honored to serve with the majority leadership and the minority leadership. Together, we can accomplish many things. So I leave you with the three words I've told you. Together, if we communicate, we cooperate, and we compromise, we can keep this the best state in the Union. Thank you.
Thank you for your remarks, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Representatives Esquibel and Bagby have escorted her back to her seat. Thank you very much. The Chair recognizes the Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that persons whose names appear on the list of proposed employees be House employees for this session in the positions so indicated on the list.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. And the employees, House employees for this session are hereby adopted. The Chair recognizes the Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the permanent House and joint rules of the 59th Legislature be adopted as the temporary rules of the House of Representatives for the 60th Wyoming Legislature.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The joint rules of the 59th Legislature are adopted as the temporary rules of the 60th Wyoming Legislature. The Chief Clerk is directed to notify His Excellency, the Governor, that the General Session of the House of Representatives, 60th Wyoming Legislature, is duly organized and ready to receive any communication he may desire to submit. I further direct the Chief Clerk to notify the Senate that the House of Representatives, 60th Wyoming Legislature, is duly organized and ready to receive any communication they may desire to submit. As Speaker, the Chair will meet with the President of the Senate to make arrangements for the joint session of the House and Senate and to receive the Governor's message. I appoint Representative Edmonds as Chairperson of the Courtesy Committee consisting of Representatives Barbudo, Blake, Pedersen, and Shepperson for the General Session of the House of Representatives, 60th Wyoming Legislature, to wait upon members who are ill and attend to other courtesies as are from time to time deemed official by the membership. I appoint the House Standing Committees for the House of Representatives, 60th Wyoming Legislature, as are shown on the distributed list. But before we recess this session, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome the Synergy Choir from Cody High School. They are a mixed choir of sophomores, juniors, and seniors that are selected by audition. That would be audition. Their director, Larry Munari, is in his 20th year of teaching and in his 12th year at Cody High School, and Cody High School is very fortunate to have Larry as part of the faculty. In addition to having a bachelor's and master's from the University of Wyoming, Larry has traveled with musical groups throughout the U.S. and the world and serves in many positions of distinction in the musical world of the Rocky Mountain region. Larry's brother, Mark Munari, is a lieutenant with the Cheyenne Police Department and is frequently seen on TV in his capacity as the public information officer. I'd like to have Larry introduce the songs that Synergy will be singing, and please join me in welcoming Synergy.
You are the news and the news.
Incredible. Thank you very much, Larry and Synergy. I very much appreciate your effort to be here today, and so much appreciated, Larry. Thank you, and kids. And Mary, again, thank you for your effort in being here today. And my family, thank you for your efforts. The house will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel to allow our guests to exit the chamber. And we are going to come back in just a couple minutes and do a reading and reference of bills, so we don't have to come back later this afternoon. Okay, so we'll stand at ease till the sound of the gavel. It'll be just a few minutes. Thank you.
Yep. Yes, I'm going to get it now, Bill. I can do it. Yep.
Thank you. When this turns green, it's live.
How do you get it to work?
Yeah, oops. We don't. Thank you.
All righty, we are at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
House Bill 5, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure regarding interstate compact for supervision of parolees. Repeal.
House Bill 5 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 19.
House Bill 19, introduced by the Mental Health.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure regarding mental evaluations.
House Bill number 19 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 20.
House Bill 20, introduced by the Mental Health.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure regarding administration of antipsychotic drugs.
House Bill number 20 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 55.
House Bill 55, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to courts regarding judicial vacancies.
House Bill number 55 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 56.
House Bill 56, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to mines and minerals sequestration recoverable hydrocarbons.
House Bill number 56 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 57.
House Bill 57, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property ownership of poor space dominance of mineral estate.
House Bill number 57 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 58.
House Bill 58, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to carbon sequestration, responsibilities of injectors and poor space owners.
House Bill number 58 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 80.
House Bill number 80, introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the utilization of carbon sequestration.
House Bill number 80 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90.
House Bill 90, introduced by the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education programs on the Wind River Reservation.
House Bill number 90 is referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 91.
House Bill 91, introduced by the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to fire and electrical safety, public building, fire and electrical plan review.
House Bill number 90 is referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 91. House Bill number 91 is referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 67.
House Bill 67, introduced by the Revenue Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation of tobacco.
House Bill number 67 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 68.
House Bill 68, introduced by the Revenue Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax homestead exemption.
House Bill number 68 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 101.
House Bill 101, introduced by the Revenue Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue, excise tax manufacturing exemption.
House Bill number 101 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 102.
House Bill 102, introduced by the Revenue Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue, excise tax vendor compensation.
House Bill number 102 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 52.
House Bill 52, introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Higher Education Endowment Fund.
House Bill number 52 is referred to Committee number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 62.
House Bill 62, introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to charter school amendments.
House Bill number 114 is referred to Committee number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 12. Excuse me. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 114.
House Bill 114, introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to community colleges amendments.
House Bill number 114 is referred to Committee number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12.
House Bill 12, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to brand inspection fees.
House Bill number 12 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for a consideration is House Bill number 13.
House Bill 13, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to subdivisions regarding fences.
House Bill number 13 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 14.
House Bill 14 is introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water discharged water management.
House Bill number 14 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 15.
House Bill 15, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state common school trust land management account.
House Bill number 15 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 16.
House Bill 16, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to food safety regarding cottage food industry.
House Bill number 16 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17.
House Bill 17, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to livestock and brands.
House Bill number 17 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 97.
House Bill 97, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to weights and measures.
House Bill number 97 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 100.
House Bill 100, introduced by the Select Water Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water development projects.
House Bill number 100 is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 4.
House Bill 4, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill number 4 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 6.
House Bill 6, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish trapping.
House Bill 6 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 11.
House Bill 11, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish regarding dog chasing wildlife.
House Bill 11 is referred to Committee 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 23.
House Bill 23, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish regarding penalties.
House Bill number 23 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 24.
House Bill number 24, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish regarding violation penalties.
House Bill number 24 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 32.
House Bill 32, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish regarding gray wolf management.
House Bill number 32 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 3.
House Bill 3, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to county coroners regarding archaeological burials.
House Bill number 3 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 8.
House Bill number 8, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to certified public accountants.
House Bill number 8 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 9.
House Bill number 9, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to subdivisions, cluster developments.
House Bill 9 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10.
House Bill 10, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Act relating to subdivisions, requirements.
House Bill number 10 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38.
House Bill 38, introduced by the local government and COHE.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to governmental entities, fiscal year for governmental entities.
House Bill 38 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 39.
House Bill 39, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government regarding population determinations and use of federal census.
House Bill number 39 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 1.
House Joint Resolution number 1, introduced by the Corporation Committee.
First reading of the resolution.
A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to allow the legislature to provide for procedure and laws governing unification of counties and municipalities.
House Joint Resolution 1 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 43.
House Bill 43, introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Act relating to the Military Department.
House Bill number 43 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 46.
House Bill 46, introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
Act relating to the National Guard Medical Professional Retention Program.
House Bill number 46 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 47.
House Bill number 47, introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to highway signage.
House Bill number 47 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 2.
House Joint Resolution 2, introduced by the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution regarding adequate funding for I-80 as a critical freight route.
House Joint Resolution number 2 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 29.
House Bill number 29, introduced by Representative McComey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Community Facilities Program regarding the Northern Arapaho Tribe.
House Bill number 9 is referred to House Bill number 29 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109.
House Bill 109, introduced by the Mineral Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Wyoming Community Facilities Program.
House Bill number 109 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 110.
House Bill 110, introduced by the Mineral Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Wyoming Business Ready Community Programs.
House Bill number 110 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 111.
House Bill number 111, introduced by the Mineral Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Clean Coal Task Force.
House Bill 111 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 31.
House Bill number 31, introduced by the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety regarding smoking in enclosed public places.
House Bill number 31 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 54.
House Bill 54, introduced by the Labor Committee.
House Bill number 54 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill 61, introduced by the Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
Act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
House Bill number 61 is referred to Committee number 12, Rules. Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Messages from the Governor and, messages from the Senate, excuse me.
Message number one, Mr. Speaker, the Senate 60th Wyoming State Legislature General Session has now been called to order by President John Hines and is ready to receive any communications you wish to submit. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number two. Mr. Speaker, the following are the officers of the Senate for the 60th Wyoming Legislature. Senator John Hines, President. Senator Tony Ross, Vice President. Senator Jim Anderson, Majority Floor Leader. Senator Catherine Sessions, Minority Floor Leader. Senator Mike Massey, Minority Whip. Senator John Hastert, Minority Caucus Chairman. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number three. Mr. Speaker, Senator Marty Martin was appointed to serve the unexpired term occasioned by the resignation of Senator Ray Lynn Jobe, Senate District 12. Senator Rick Honeycutt has been appointed to fill the unexpired term occasioned by the resignation of Senator Bob Fecht, Senate District 5. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number four. Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the following named persons are duly appointed new members of the Senate of the 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming. The list follows. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number five. Mr. Speaker, the following named persons are Senate employees of the 60th Wyoming State Legislature. The list follows. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number six. Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has adopted the permanent Senate and joint rules of the 59th Legislature as the temporary Senate and joint rules of the Senate 60th Wyoming State Legislature. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number seven. Mr. Speaker, the President of the Senate has appointed the following standing committees. The list follows. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Special orders and committee announcements. Any special orders? Committee announcements, Representative Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. in room H10 to have an organizational meeting.
Chairman Landon. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number nine will meet Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. It'll be a joint meeting with the Minerals Committee from the Senate, and it'll be for organizational and review of interim topics.
Chairman Berger.
Mr. Speaker, I am standing up. Your committee number two will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. in room 204 to start discussing the goldenrod.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one will meet tomorrow morning in room H8 at 8 a.m. to take up House Bill 55, Judicial Vacancies, and House Bill 5, Interstate Compact for Supervision of Parolees.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to let the body know that there's an optional meeting of the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee tomorrow in room H10 at 8:30, and we are going to hear from the Insurance Commission about the Wyoming health insurance pool for the high-risk people that, who get subsidized health insurance, and so anybody who would be interested in that issue is welcome to attend.
Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number three will meet tomorrow morning, Wednesday, January 14th at 8 a.m. in House 11 to consider House Bill 67, Tobacco Excise Tax, House Bill 101, Excise Tax and Manufacturing Exemption, and House Bill 102, Vendor Compensation. Also, I'd remind you of the letter you received sometime from Dan File of the Capital Ministries. We'll have a devotional time in the Hirschler Commons at 6:30 in the morning.
Will you be working on the definition of tobacco? Chairman Coey.
And several others.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number eight on Highways, Transportation, and Military Affairs will meet 5 minutes upon adjournment today. That's 2:20 p.m. in room H17 to have an organizational meeting.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, will meet upon adjournment tomorrow in room H10, where we will have an organizational meeting, and then we will take up House Bill 52, Higher Education Endowment Fund, and House Bill 62, Charter School Amendments.
Thank you. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, for my second time, and the new members will get a chance to know what that means later on. But your committee number 10, Labor, will meet tomorrow afternoon upon adjournment to hear House Bill 54, Workers' Compensation Amendments.
Thank you. Any further announcements? I would like to remind you that tomorrow there is a reception at the newly remodeled Supreme Court, and we have been invited to an open session of the court held in our honor at 4:30 p.m. tomorrow, January 14th. Please wear your legislative badge or state ID. I don't know if you can wear it. Okay. In order to avoid the court's normal security screening procedures, and there is no Supreme Court breakfast, this is taking the place of the breakfast. So if you show up at the Barrett Building for breakfast tomorrow, you will not be served. Reimbursement for training yesterday. If you attended any training sessions yesterday, you're eligible for per diem. Go to the LSO main office in room 213 to sign the per diem acknowledgement form. The ethics and anti-discrimination forms. Sessions on ethics and anti-discrimination training were held yesterday. Copies of the ethics brochure and the Management Council policy on anti-discrimination were circulated at those training sessions, and copies will also be provided at your desk. A form will be circulating for you to sign, acknowledging that you have received these documents. That is all of the announcements I have. That clears the desk. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move we adjourn until 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 14th, 2009, when the joint session of the 60th Wyoming Legislature will convene.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. Motion carries. We are adjourned until tomorrow morning, January 14th, 2009 at 10 a.m.